Oftentimes we'll, in our minds, start to draw comparisons of one another. And we'll say, she's smarter than I am, or he's taller than I am, or, you know, it ranges from the very physical things. We compare ourselves in that regard to the spiritual things. We say, well, she's kinder than I am, or he goes and sees about the sick more often than I do, or this, that, or the other. And we'll make these comparisons. And it's so natural to us to draw these comparisons. We, you know, from a very early age, I guess, we look around about us and we see other people and we think, am I like that or am I different than that? And oftentimes we will fall into one of two categories. We're either going to think we're better than everybody else or we're going to think everybody else is better than us. And both those things are very dangerous in the way that they can lead us to behave and to act in our Christian lives. And so I want to talk about the danger of comparisons for a little while this morning. I want you to picture this. The disciples of Christ, the apostles, the 12 followers that Jesus himself chose, they're walking down the road. And there begins to be strife among them. And Jesus perceives that and he asks them a question. And he came to Capernaum and being in the house, he asked them, What was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. This is the apostles of Jesus. They walk down the way and they get to Capernaum and Jesus said, what's the problem? There's obviously something going on here. There's a problem among you. And they wouldn't tell him. They held their peace because they knew that what they were disputing about was not something they should be talking about. They were wanting to know which of us is the greatest. You know, Peter may have looked over to one of the other apostles and said, you know, I've done this and this and this. What have you done? I must be the greatest. Or one of the others must have looked at another and said, you know, you've done this and this and this. You must be better than me. And they disputed. They went back and forth. Who's the greatest? This is the closest followers of Jesus having this problem. As the rest of the story goes, Jesus tells them that if you're going to be great, you got to be a servant. And he brings a little child and sets them in their midst and tells them to be more like that child and not to strive among themselves or think about that. But we have a tendency to do so. In 2 Corinthians 10 and verse number 12, the Bible says this, for we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. So the Bible says this is not a wise thing to do, to compare yourselves with each other. That's just not a wise thing to do. He says don't make yourself of that number. Don't compare yourselves to them. Because they compare themselves among themselves. They look out at one another and draw those comparisons and think, I'm better than that or I'm worse than that. I'm better in this regard or I'm not as good in this regard. And he says that's just not wise. We're not going to get anywhere by doing that. We're not going to accomplish anything by doing that. We're not the standard by which we should measure one another. We're just not. I can't measure myself by you, and you can't measure yourself by me and determine where we're at in terms of our spiritual life or where we're at in terms of our everyday life. There's just too many differences among people to compare ourselves to one another. As I said, you fall into one of two categories when you compare yourselves. Either you compare yourself and you look at others and you think, I'm better than they are. I'm a better Christian. I'm smarter. I'm more intelligent. I'm whatever you want to say. I'm better looking. It doesn't matter. You compare yourself to someone and you think you're better than they are. And you get the perception then of being the snob, having your nose in the air, walking around with your chest puffed out, thinking you're better than everybody else. And you can't influence people when you're doing that, can you? You can't influence others when they immediately, you walk into the room and they think, well, here comes oh so-and-so. They think they're better than everybody else. You can't influence people when that's the case. Or the other extreme is that we view ourselves as worse. I hate the word worse, but We view everybody else as better than us. Oh, woe is me. I have no talent. I'm just worthless. I don't even know why I'm here. And we can't influence anybody like that either, can we? We can't accomplish anything when we take that attitude on, when we compare ourselves in that way and don't look at ourselves as having value to God. First off, I want to look at the former. If you think you're better than everyone else, what's that going to lead to? It's going to lead to pride, isn't it? It's going to lead to pride. Brother Mark talked quite a bit about pride when he was here, so I'm not going to go into great detail on this. But if you think you're better than everybody else, you can't help but have a prideful attitude. You can't help but be puffed up. You can't help but think that you've got everything imaginable and you don't need anything else. And when you get to that, in that attitude, in that regard, then you're going to push God aside. You're not going to look to God. The story of the Pharisee and the publican in Luke 18 in verses 11 and 12. The Bible says that the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. Look at me, Lord, look at me. I'm sure better than this guy. He's just not very good, but I'm real good. He doesn't fast. I fast twice in the week. You know, he may even be an adulterer. I'm thankful I'm not like that. I'm just in all my dealings. I keep my word. I'm better than he is. I'm better than everyone else. And what did the Bible say? It said this man did not go down to his house justified. The man that was humble and smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He went down justified to his house. The Pharisee was not justified in this attitude. It was a poor attitude. And yet it's a very common attitude. It's common among Christians sometimes to think of ourselves. We're here in this place and we're doing the will of God. And aren't we wonderful? And all these people drive down the street right behind us, they're not thinking about God. They're not going to church. We must be a lot better than they are. I'm thankful I'm not like they are. That's a terrible attitude. The book of James, the Bible tells us God is no respecter of persons. God doesn't care who you are. God doesn't care what your last name is, you know. We get proud of our last name, don't we? We're proud of our name. And we wear that name with honor. And I suppose it's good. The Bible says a good reputation is more precious than anything. And so that's a wonderful thing. But when we become so prideful in that, we think just because of who we are, we're entitled to certain things or deserve certain things. There's no honor in that. God's not pleased with that. We're not better than everybody else around us. We're not better than all those that are not in this building. We're blessed to have Jesus Christ. We're blessed to have Jesus. When you believe you're better than everyone else, the second thing I believe it leads to is a false sense of security. You don't think about needing Jesus anymore. You don't think about striving to live the Christian life. You just find somebody that's wrapped up in sin and you compare yourself to them and say, I'm better than they are. You know, I'm not an extortioner. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not unjust. I'm not wrapped up in all these sins. And so God must look at me more favorably than he looks at them. And if you don't have Christ, if you've never obeyed the gospel and you start to look and make those comparisons, it can lead you into a false sense of security. You can think, well, I'm a pretty moral person. I'm a pretty good person. I go and help people when I can. And, you know, I'm not out doing all these terrible sins and terrible things that you see on the news every night. I must be pretty good. And it lures you into a false sense of security. My friends, without Jesus, there is no security. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, if you hadn't been buried with him in baptism, if you hadn't washed away your sins, there is no security. Doesn't matter how bad everybody else is and how good you are. Without Jesus washing your sins away, there is no security. So don't get wrapped up into that false sense of security just because you look at your life and see you're living your life better than your neighbor is. In Luke 13, verses 1 through 5, the Bible says there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering and said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell ye nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell ye nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. These people were telling Jesus here of a couple of stories, a couple of instances. And they were looking at those Galileans, and they were looking at those people on whom the Tower of Siloam fell, and they were thinking, we must be better than them. Those sinners must have done something terribly wrong, and this happened to them. And we must be better than them. What was Jesus' response? I tell you, nay. You're not better than them. There's nothing different about you and them. He said, if you don't repent, you'll likewise perish. And that's a message for us today. We're not better than anyone else. We're not better than the sinners in the world that we look at and disdain. We simply have Jesus and we've got to repent. We've got to turn to Him. We've got to come to Him. Don't compare yourself to everybody else. Think about your own life, where you stand and what you need to do. Now, the flip side of that is if you think they're better. So you say, well, I never do that. I don't think about myself being better. So you think about everybody else being better. That's just as big of a problem. It can lead to just as big of difficulties for us to overcome. The first thing is envy and jealousy. You look out at everyone else and you think they're better than you are, you may become envious of them. You may become envious of their talents, what they can do better than you can do, or what they have that you don't have. And it leads to problems with envy and with jealousy. So we look in the Psalms, in Psalm 73, verses 2 to 5, it says, But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. So the writer here says, you know, I got really down. My feet were gone. My steps had slipped. I was just really down and we might say depressed. Why was he so depressed? He was envious of the foolish. Looked out at the foolish and was envious of them. Why? Because it just seemed like they were getting along just fine. Here I am plugging away, trying to do my best, struggling in the Christian life. And I look out at those living in the world and they seem to be doing just fine. So what's the problem? What's the advantage? We're not in the right perspective. We're not thinking about what we have. We're not thinking about the hope, the heavenly hope that we have. We become envious. We want what they have. They look like they're having fun. Romans 13 and 13 says, Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. We don't need to be envious of one another. Now, the Bible tells us very plainly that within the church, we're all going to have different abilities. We're all going to have different talents and different things that we bring to the church. And those are all important and those are all needed and necessary. Without them, we're not going to accomplish anything as a congregation. We don't need to be envious of those things. We need to welcome those, be grateful for those things, those differences that we have. And we certainly don't need to be envious of those out in the world and what they have. We need to keep our eyes focused upon ourselves and upon what we need to do and how we need to be living. The opposite of a false sense of security, I suppose, is insecurity and anxiety. And we can become very insecure in our own salvation. And that's not a place that we want to be. The Bible's told us there is now, therefore, no condemnation of them who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you've come to Christ and you've obeyed the gospel and you're walking in the light and walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh, there's no condemnation. You don't have to look at someone else in the church and think, well, I'm not doing what they are. You need to compare yourself to the standard. To the standard. To the Word and to Jesus. Compare yourself back to that. And if you're living and doing what the standard says you do, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. It doesn't matter how you measure up to them. Don't become insecure in your salvation because you're comparing yourself to someone else. Now think about in John, the 21st chapter. Towards the end of the book of John, as Jesus is talking to Peter, he's telling him, you know, I need you to feed my sheep. I need you to feed my lambs. And he tells him that three times, over and over again. This is what you need to do, Peter. And he's focused on him and telling him what he needs to do and asking him, do you really love me? And if you really love me, then feed my sheep. And he asks him again and again. Peter becomes frustrated a little bit. And then in the 21st verse, in the 20th verse, he looks over at John and over at that disciple that Jesus loves, he said, that laid upon his breast. And in the 21st verse here, it says, Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what will you have this man to do? What will you have this man to do? You want me to do all these things. You want me to do this and this and this, but what would you have him to do? Peter's getting insecure. Here's this guy. He's always right with Jesus. Here he is, always leaning on Jesus, and he's that disciple that Jesus loves. You know, that's how he's referred to several times in the Scriptures, that disciple that Jesus loves. So maybe I'm doing something wrong, and John's doing something right. Peter gets insecure. Well, what will you have this man to do then? He becomes angry and insecure. Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. In other words, don't worry about it. Don't worry about what he needs to do. Worry about what you need to do. Worry about the things you need to be taken care of. I've asked you to feed my sheep, Peter. That's what I want you to do. Don't worry about what I want him to do. Don't get insecure by measuring yourself against someone else. We've said this several times and alluded to it, but Christ is the standard to measure ourselves by. Christ's the standard. You know, Paul at one point in time did say in the Scriptures, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And so there is precedence to look at someone that is following Christ very closely. I understand that. And I struggle with that a little bit as I put this lesson together, because there is precedence there. But I want you to think about this. Some of you are very accomplished carpenters and builders. I'm not. Dad taught me the basics of how to cut and build some things, and I can do a little bit. But I don't have the attention to detail that others do that would require me to be able to be really good at that. And so when I cut, I may measure the first time, get my tape measure out. I may measure the board and cut it. And then I'm going to take that board and mark off it. And then I may take this other board over here and probably close enough, I'll mark off it. Pretty soon I'm off pretty bad. Nothing square anymore. And that's what happens when we measure ourselves by other people. You know, Christ is over here. He's the standard. He's the measuring stick. We can compare ourselves back to Jesus and we're going to get a true point of reference about where we stand. We're going to know whether we're following God as He would have us to follow Him. And yeah, we're going to be coming up short of that standard. And that's okay. We need to realize that and strive to get closer and closer to that standard. But that's what we've got to go back to every time. We can measure ourselves by Paul too. He gives us the authority to do that. That's fine. You know, that first board that we cut sometimes, we'll use that as the pattern. We can measure one time, we can cut that board, and as long as we use that one board as the pattern every time, we're fine. We'll get back close to what we need to get back to. But it's when we start to just use whatever the board we cut last was as the template for the next one that we get off really bad. And if we just start saying, well, I'm going to measure myself by so-and-so now, and I'm going to measure myself by so-and-so now, pretty soon we're not even close to the standard anymore. The measurement's off. And the only way to really get back to true is to go back to the standard and measure ourselves by that again. And that standard is always Christ and the Word. Hebrews 12 and verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your own minds. Consider him. Use Jesus. Look to Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith. He's the only standard that we can measure ourselves by. Other people, when they're confronted with those sins and trials and troubles, will fail. Jesus didn't fail. He never failed. He is the standard by which we can measure ourselves. And when we measure ourselves by that standard, it takes a looking into ourselves. As we read in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. It doesn't say examine yourselves against your brother or sister in Christ to see how they're doing and how you're doing in comparison. Just says examine yourselves whether you're in the faith. Look back to the Word. Look back to the standard of Christ. Look back to the faith. And it says prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you except ye be reprobates. Use the standard. And when you use the standard, you're going to see a few things. When you quit comparing yourselves to others and you start comparing yourself to Christ, you're going to notice a few things. You're not going to be envious of others. You're not going to be jealous of others. You're not going to be insecure in your salvation. You're not going to be prideful or puffed up. You're not going to be lured into a false sense of security. You're going to find that you have humility. Because when you compare yourself to the standard of Christ, you can't be puffed up with pride. You're not better than Jesus. That's for sure. I'm not better than Jesus. We're not going to be puffed up with pride. In fact, we're going to look at ourselves and we're going to realize. The Bible, in fact, in the book of Philippians talks about having this mind in you that was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus was humble. That mind should be in us. And when we compare ourselves to that standard, we're going to say, I don't measure up to Jesus. I have work to do. And that's a very humbling experience. In fact, some people don't like serving as a Christian because it forces you to be humble. It forces you to get down on your knees. But I would rather get down on my knees now and humble before Jesus than to have to be forced to do it on the day of judgment. Because we will humble before him someday. Next thing you're going to see is an attitude of gratefulness. When you come to Jesus and you quit comparing yourself to everybody else and you compare yourself to Jesus, you can't help but be grateful. Because his grace is shining down. We don't deserve what Jesus has given us. We don't deserve the hope that we have. We don't deserve to have all our sins just lifted and taken away. That's what he's given us. And you can't help but be grateful when you look at Jesus and his life and think about all he endured. And that he endured that for you. That he did it for you. It's pretty good stuff. Makes me pretty excited and pretty grateful and humbled. And finally, just hopefulness. To know that we serve a Savior who died for us, who was resurrected again, who sits on the right hand of God today, and who's coming back to get us. That's pretty hopeful. That's the kind of master we serve. And although I don't measure up to his standard, his blood covers my sins. Although I don't compare to him in regard of how I live my life, he's brought me unto his fold. The Bible says, as a chicken would gather her chicks under her wings. That's what Jesus has done to us. He loves us. He's given us hope. So don't compare yourselves to others. Compare yourselves to Christ.